Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Are you still here, Cardinal fan? I couldn't help myself. Happy opening day to everybody. Yeah, even you, Cardinal fan. I'm going to let that play out in the background. And if you got a problem with it, well, that's your problem. Oh, welcome in. Thursday edition of Cole and Company underway. I am your host, Colbert. And yes, we got our dress rehearsal on Monday with a spring training broadcast, but Cubs regular season baseball 2024 style hits the airwaves tonight here on The Fan right after we're done here. How about that? Typically opening day means a day game, especially for the Cubs. However, they've been chosen to go against the defending World Series champions by the schedule maker to open the season. They are in Texas to take on the Rangers. Pre-game's going to begin at 6 tonight, as I said, and first pitch at 6:35. Justin Steele on the bump. One of the Cy Young candidates from last year. And, as much as this is a little bit of a troll of the non-Cub fans, especially the Cardinal fans listening, I do just really enjoy the camaraderie of baseball fans, of whomever your team is on opening day. Just genuinely excited to celebrate opening day with everybody. I know from what I had seen as I was working this afternoon that the Reds got off to a good start today. So I know we got Red fans out there. Congrats to you. You're not going to win the division. The NL Central will go through Chicago. I will make that claim. Do I think it was a perfect offseason for the Cubs? No. But I do think that they should be, and I think for the most part, in Vegas, they are the favorite in the NL Central. However, that being said, NL Central's not necessarily a juggernaut of a division, if we're really getting down to brass tacks. So should be an interesting summer, to say the least, and it all starts tonight. With Cubs baseball on the road at the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. Very excited. And we'll talk Cubs coming up in the third segment of today's show. Tommy Burch, our friend from the Des Moines Register, he's the Iowa Cubs beat writer, also does a great job as a features sports writer for the Register. He's connected at all levels of the Cubs franchise. He's very plugged in, and he will join us in the third segment. Follow him on X at Tommy Burch, and he also covers Iowa State women's basketball for the Des Moines Register, so we'll put a bow on what was an incredibly impressive season for the Iowa State women. We talked a little bit about it with John Walters, the men's play-by-play voice for the Cyclones on Monday, but we'll see what Tommy has to say when he joins us. Coming up in about a half hour's time here today on the show. However you are tuned in, I appreciate it. Your options are plentiful. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. If you are looking to download that app, go into your app store. Doesn't matter your device. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find it. It's free to download, of course. Why wouldn't it be? And just to kind of reiterate the point there, had someone who had emailed me, a P1 listener, a ritual listener to the station, and said, "Hey, Cole, I was down in Kansas City for the Big 12 men's basketball tournament, and I just wasn't able to tune in when you were doing your on-air call-in promos to get registered for Bracket Attack." And I was like, "Man, I thought you knew and you had the app downloaded. That's how you could have listened when you were out of range of the terrestrial radio signal." And just so happened that, you know, just kind of went over his head, and he's like, "No, my bad. I got it downloaded now. I'll be good to go moving forward." So all sorts of reasons to download the app. There's one little anecdote there among many that I could come up with on why you want that 1650 The Fan app downloaded on your device. Also, make sure you're following us on Twitter. Well, X, formerly Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page. If you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll see the page pop up. Then hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. You'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook or X feeds. What's not to like? In the home of that content, 1650thefan.com. Bookmark the website. All sorts of information there, including today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, available on demand, the podcast of this show. Whole lot else. If you want to dial me up with any questions or comments to add to the program, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you could dial 800-913-9479, or you could email me. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Don't be shy. Open to suggestions, by all means. Send me an email. Let me know. And, of course, you can tweet at me, tweet at 1650KCNZ, and send us a message on Facebook if that's where you do most of your communicating online. All right, we will get to area sports news and scores for your Thursday here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one and get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. It does look like it's going to be a rather pleasant Easter weekend, and looking forward to see what Megan Mulford will tell us when we get the forecast. So we'll see if that's true. I can't quite remember the 10-day forecast I know I saw a day ago. There's a lot going on. All right. After that first segment, after we get the forecast, come back in segment number two. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network, friend of the show. You follow him on X at David Eichel. We'll join the program, and we haven't caught up with David in a couple weeks here. All this Caden Proctor drama has played out where he transfers from Alabama to Iowa and then reenters the transfer portal, and it's no secret he's going back to Alabama. So got to talk to David about that. He had a really good story at HawkeyeInsider.com, and it's just another reason why you should be subscribed. Him and his colleagues do great work at HawkeyeInsider.com. Spring football has began for Kirk Ferentz's Hawkeyes, and there's the Iowa men's basketball season's come to an end since we spoke with David last. Three Hawkeyes are now in the transfer portal. We've told you about two on this show already. We got a third one to tell you about today in case you haven't seen this online just yet. And then, of course, the Iowa women's basketball team. They are looking for a Sweet 16 win against Colorado on Saturday afternoon. So we'll get David's latest analysis and anything he can update us on news-wise with Lisa Bluter's team. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. And as I mentioned, come back on the other side in that third segment with Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register to talk Iowa State women's basketball, put a bow on that season as great as it was, and then also talk opening day, and in particular, preview both the Chicago Cubs and Iowa Cubs seasons. I know many people in the Cedar Valley area make a point to entertain themselves and maybe their kids and other friends and family by making the pilgrimage to Des Moines once or more times every summer for Iowa Cubs baseball. And from where I sit, I think it's going to be one of the most stacked rosters the Iowa Cubs have had in quite some time, if not ever. When you talk about prospects, players that project to be major league players. So very interested to see what Tommy has to tell us about that, as I think it could be well worth your recreational dollars this summer to go see some Iowa Cubs baseball. So look forward to that in the third segment. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout. Get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Thursday. Come back for a final time and wrap up the show. And at that point, we'll get you news and weather and then hand the baton for opening day or opening night of Chicago Cubs baseball 2024 style here on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 and 102.3 The Fan. All right, so I think I've said enough. Let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Thursday. A busy Thursday of Metro Spring sports, beginning in track and field. Waterloo West and East boys and girls teams competing at the Waverly Shell Rock Co-Ed Invitational. In girls track, Cedar Falls competing at a quadrangular at Iowa City West. And the Waterloo Christian boys track team is at the BCLUW Invitational. In boys soccer, Cedar Falls opens its season at home against Decorah, and Waterloo West plays at Dubuque Senior. In girls soccer, Waterloo West is at Iowa City Liberty. And finally, in boys tennis, Waterloo Columbus Catholic plays host to Grundy Center at Burns Park. Former Waterloo West standout Hallie Polk is going to play basketball next season at Murray State. She recently entered the transfer portal after playing her freshman season at Bradley. She's a 5'4" guard and was named to the Missouri Valley Conference's all-freshman team and all-conference third team after averaging 14.8 points per game as a freshman for the Bradley Braves this past season. The UNI men's basketball team has landed a player out of the transfer portal. Max Weisbrod from NCAA D2 Northern Michigan has committed to the Panthers. He's a 6'4" guard from DeForest, Wisconsin. Last year as a sophomore, he was the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Player of the Year. He averaged 17 points and 4 assists per game and shot 39% from three-point range. Two-time Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year Tucker DeVries has decided to follow his father, Darren, to West Virginia. Darren made that announcement today during his opening press conference in Morgantown at Drake this past season. Tucker, the 6'7" forward, averaged 21.6 points, 6.7 rebounds, and 3.7 assists per game. Drake finished its season 28-7 overall, falling to Washington State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Following the season, of course, Darren DeVries accepted that job at West Virginia and, as I mentioned, broke this news today at his opening press conference. How about this? Patrick McCaffrey, senior forward and son of Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey, leaving the Hawkeyes, entering the transfer portal. McCaffrey hasn't announced the departure yet himself, but several reports have confirmed the news, including David Eichel, who joins us in the next segment. This past season, McCaffrey played in 31 of Iowa's 34 games, started 15, averaged 8.9 points and 3 rebounds per game, played in 121 games over the last 4 years, and has tallied 1,044 career points as a Hawkeye. It didn't take long for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes to break their viewing record in the women's NCAA tournament. The Hawkeyes' 64-54 win over West Virginia in the second round Monday night averaged 4.9 million viewers on ESPN. According to Nielsen, excluding Final Four contests and title games, that made it the most viewed women's tournament game ever. The viewership surpassed the 3.2 million who watched Iowa's first round win over Holy Cross on Saturday on ABC. Monday night's game is also the most watched NCAA tournament game, men's or women's, on cable so far this year. And 2-seed Iowa State faces off against 3-seed Illinois tonight in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. Cyclones picked up wins over South Dakota State and Washington State in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And Iowa State is going to look to slow down a high-scoring Illinois team that won its first two tournament games by an average of 21 points. Iowa State is 29-7, Fighting Illini 28-8. We will break away from our Cubs coverage tonight here on The Fan at 8. When coverage begins of Iowa State and Illinois, the entirety of tonight's Chicago Cubs game is going to be able to be heard over on Cruising KCFI. That's 1250 AM, 105.1 FM. So it's Cubs from 6 until 8 here on The Fan tonight. Then we'll have coverage of Iowa State taking on Illinois here on The Fan. If you're listening to the Cubs tonight here on The Fan and it breaks away and you're going, what the heck is going on? You can go over to Cruisin', 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, hear that Cubs game. The entirety of the Cubs game over on Cruisin' tonight. Wanted to also have as much of it as we could be that it's opening day instead of just a simple flex over to Cruisin'. So you're going to get the first 2 hours of the Cubs broadcast here on The Fan. Then we go to Iowa State, Illinois. The whole Cubs game available over on Cruisin' KCFI tonight. All right, that is a wrap for area sports news and scores for your Thursday. We got to take this first time out, get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side and plenty to talk about Iowa Hawkeyes-wise. Football, men's and women's basketball, we'll talk about it all next. David Eicholt, 24-7 Sports, HawkeyeInsider.com. After this on a Thursday edition of Colin Company.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
It's opening day at Major League Baseball, and the Orioles wasting no time, putting 11 up on the board as they lead the Angels 11-1 in the eighth inning. Starter Corbin Burnes went six innings, struck out 11, the only blemish on his line, a solo home run allowed to Mike Trout in the first inning. Dodgers lead the Cardinals 5-1. That's in the sixth inning in L.A. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman have home runs for L.A. While the Yankees have pulled within one of the Astros. Houston leads at home 4-3 in the fifth inning. Juan Soto, an RBI single for New York. Nick Martini has two RBIs. He's knocked in five as the Reds are blanking the Nationals 7-0 in the sixth inning. Jays are on top of the Rays in the sixth inning, 6-2. Sweet 16 tonight includes Arizona and Clemson getting things going from L.A., 7:09 Eastern time, followed by North Carolina and Alabama. Out east in Boston, it's UConn and San Diego State, 7:39 Eastern. Iowa State and Illinois will tip after that. Scotty Scheffler won back at the Houston Open.
This is Dan Patrick. Listen to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8, right here on 1650 The Fan.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan, broadcasting from the Circa Sports Studio.
The world's largest sports book is now available right at your fingertips in Iowa. Download your new bookie today with high betting limits, tight money splits, and exceptional customer service. The Circa Sports Iowa app. Visit CircaSports.com and get in on the action. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
Passionate professionals needed. The Waterloo Community School District wants you to join our team. We are hiring dedicated individuals to inspire young minds and shape tomorrow's leaders. Whether you are an experienced teacher, skilled support staff, or simply passionate about education, we have rewarding jobs waiting for you. We offer competitive salaries and benefits, including IPERS and single health and dental insurance provided at no cost. You don't have to be a teacher to enjoy the great working environment at Waterloo Schools. We are looking for paraeducators, coaches, substitute teachers, food service workers, custodians, and more. Don't miss out on a chance to be part of something truly special. Your future awaits with Waterloo Schools. Apply now and unlock your next career opportunity. Visit waterlooschools.org today. Your future awaits with Waterloo Schools, where passion meets purpose.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The 2024 Major League Baseball season begins today, and we already have two games postponed due to inclement weather. The Mets and Brewers have been postponed to March 29th, as well as the Phillies and Braves. The first game on opening day will be the Angels at Orioles, where the Orioles are a point-and-a-half favorite to win, minus 178 on the money line. The betting favorite to win the World Series this year, the Dodgers host the Cardinals as a one-and-a-half-point favorite, minus 225 to win on the money line. The Celtics take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight in Atlanta for the second time this week. On Monday, they lost 120-118, but the number one seed in the Eastern Conference head into this game as 15.5-point favorites. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Ron Culver on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northeast 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for showers, tomorrow, high of 60. Chance for showers, tomorrow night, lows around 38, cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies, Saturday, with daytime highs approaching 55. 54, chance of rain showers, Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leaders 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. Coverage of opening day Cubs baseball beginning at 6. In the meantime, we got to catch up with David Eichold. It's been a little while, longer than usual, since our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network has checked in. Make sure you're following him on X at David Eichold. David, thanks so much for being here. How you been?
Been good, man. It's been a busy time for sure between the Caden Proctor stuff, the both basketball teams, but
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun, man. It's spring football is obviously here now, but no complaints, man.
How about we rip off this Caden Proctor band-aid, because we haven't had a chance to talk about this, and perhaps it's for the best, because it seems at this point pretty much the lion's share of the drama has played itself out. So he transfers to Iowa. That's all great. He shows up at the basketball game. He's got this NIL deal from the Swarm. Then next thing you know, he's back in the transfer portal. Something about being on spring break with old teammates, from what I gather. The Swarm guy has to go on radio and make public statements that none of this money that was promised to him was given to him. So people are feeling a little bit better about that. But then again, I'm all for player movement, but this is this is like fever pitch player movement here. At this juncture, David, what's most important to know and kind of what's front of mind for you?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, Alex Scarborough of our Alabama 24/7 site and myself put together a in-depth behind-the-scenes look at why Caden Proctor ended up transferring back to Alabama. That's available for our subscribers at HawkeyeInsider.com. A lot of good intel there. But, you know, I think a couple of things. One, Cole, I think Iowa's kind of happy that the saga is over. I think over the last month, they've found it apparent that it just was not going to be a fit. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, on the field-wise, I think there were a lot of pros and a lot of upside. But behind the scenes, I just don't think it was the right culture fit, to be quite honest with you. I mean, you think about a lot of the guys that were close with Proctor during the initial recruiting cycle. You know, from what I've been told, I'm not saying they didn't embrace him, but they were very skeptical upon him returning to Iowa in the first place. And I don't blame them, quite frankly, when you consider what Caden Proctor said about, you know, I don't want to be the best player. I want to go up against people that are my level. That would certainly rub me the wrong way, too. So I don't think Iowa particularly did anything wrong. I don't think Alabama did anything right. And I'm not saying Caden Proctor is the victim. I just think it was the storm of events and circumstances that ultimately led to his departure. And I can tell you, I was really not losing sleep over this one. Again, as crazy as it sounds, because he didn't go through spring practice. He was not getting the starting reps at left tackle, which I think is an incredibly important point that they don't have to reshuffle again after spring practice. I don't think Iowa's going to be sad about losing Caden Proctor. They're just focused on the guys that are truly all in on the culture more than anything else. But it also shows that college football needs to change, because this is flat out ridiculous territory that we're entering.
Yeah, I was of the thought, or of what I thought was the knowledge, that once we had gotten far enough away from the pandemic, that the NCAA was back to strict enforcement of, okay, you can transfer once and play right away, but if you're going to transfer twice and expect to play right away, this is kind of like what it was before, where you're going to have to give us a really good rationale. A lot of times where, you know, it's something has happened in a family, so you're transferring closer back to home to support your family. Things along those lines. Yet here is Caden Proctor, who's bouncing around like a pinball. Again, like I said, I'm all for player movement, but when we constantly have this vague talk of guardrails, I mean, this one doesn't seem like it's very vague. Like, can we just get these guardrails in place where it's like, yeah, for me, it'd just be, you get to transfer once and play right away, or you can transfer a second time and play right away if your coach that recruited you is gone.
That's kind of where I am, too. I mean, I think the NCAA and the public tried to change so many things so fast that nobody has any idea what's going on. Because even if you think about from the NIL perspective, I know a lot of people want to blame Jordan Bohannon for the way that this has all turned out. This is not what name, image, and likeness is supposed to be.
No.
It's not supposed to be the common fan that are supplying money for these collectives to pay college athletes on top of the thousands of dollars they spend on hotels, tailgating, tickets, gas, everything else. It's not the way it's supposed to be. As far as the transfers goes, I mean, you look at A.J. Storr, for example, Wisconsin. I believe it's going to be his third year of college, maybe his fourth year out there, remember. But Cole, he's going to be on seven different schools in 7 years going back to high school. This is just flat out outrageous. You need to give these kids some sort of stability.
Yeah.
You need to give them some sort of foundation to fall back on, and I'm with you. If there's family circumstances that they want to go back to, they should be able to transfer. If there's a coaching change, the players should not be limited to that university. They should be allowed to go explore. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this is all run free agency, it's flat out ridiculous. It's flat out wrong. And with the NCAA basically in shambles at this point, I don't know when we're going to get it back. But going to school for somewhere for a semester, then transferring back to the school,
yeah,
that you already transferred from, it's ridiculous. Caden Proctor, hey, you know what? Hats off to him. Because he got 2 months full of the Caitlin Clark show, then decided to go back home.
Yeah, he got a nice front row seat. Good for him. Okay, no easy way to transition out of that. But as far as spring football is actually concerned with the Hawkeyes that are in uniform, I want to say I'd seen on your Twitter or your X that Tim Lester may actually have some free reign here. I mean, this is like... This is like, it's like crack cocaine. Let's just put it that way. I was trying to think of something else, but like just the idea, the idea that Iowa's offensive coordinator is going to have autonomy to your readers and listeners and everyone else's that's covering the team. That's got to be like crack cocaine for the people that are consuming it.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of reminds me of the old SpongeBob episode when he's in Sandy's bubble. And he says he doesn't need water. Then she goes to go make cookies or something. Then he just starts saying, I don't need it. I don't need it. I need it. That's Iowa fans and basically the offense that's going to be in place. So I was encouraged by what Kirk Ferentz said. Now, I'm also of the belief that we just need to sort of see it on the field at this point before I'm really going to buy stock into it. Mm-hmm. But from what I've been told behind the scenes, a lot of the players are very excited about this change. There's a lot of different kind of schematics between the 49ers and the Packers, some quick passing offense, some different things like that. And I think it's, and Kirk may have summed it up well. He said it's going to be different, but I think they're going to be the same philosophically. And I don't see that as a red flag. I don't see that as a bad thing. But I also want to see how the first game goes before we really, really try to buy stock into this.
Well, what should we make of Patrick McCaffrey entering the transfer portal, David?
Nothing. I think this has been completely expected since the beginning of the year and kind of confirmed over the last month and a half to Hawkeye and Fair subscribers. I mean, I don't think this indicates Fran's gone. I'll be surprised if Fran does not come back next year. He's fully intending on coming back from what I've been told. Now, of course, things can change. I'm not going to make any promises with the way college athletics works. But Patrick kind of just wants to get out of his own bubble. wants to get out of this element. I think he just wants to go somewhere and play free more than anything else, away from the Iowa fans, away from his dad being the coach, away from being the coach's son. And just kind of, I'm not saying he didn't enjoy basketball at Iowa by any means, but I think there's just different levels to enjoying yourself. And after everything he's been through on and off the court throughout his life, I just think that this is going to be a good move for him. He can probably go make some decent money somewhere else. And for all the people saying he's getting mid-major offers, he is not getting mid-major offers. He is going to be a high-major player somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I think the people that are wanting to make something more out of it are the people that are just always going to want to make something more out of anything they can when it relates to the Iowa Hawkeyes, you know? Like, a lot of Iowa State fans, maybe, for example. Not that they're the only ones, but that makes complete sense to me, the rationale that I would understand that you know well that he has when it comes to this transfer. All right, Iowa women's basketball, they have taken care of business here in the first couple of rounds, albeit I must say, David, that the internet, a very reliable place for information, told me that the refs, the NCAA, told the refs to make sure that Iowa would beat West Virginia on Monday night. Have you been able to prove this? Because the internet told me that was the case.
Yeah, I would tell the internet to learn basketball. I mean, I was courtside. I think it's flat out ridiculous that they acted like that. It was rigged for Iowa. Iowa was sitting back in the zone defense, allowing West Virginia to shoot threes. They shot 34 on the evening, converted 9. Iowa, in the flip side, was aggressive with their drives. They were intentionally fouled 6 times in the final moments of, final couple minutes of the game that continued to extend it, which stacked up the free throw number and stacked up the, overall foul totality. And if you even go back to Iowa State versus West Virginia, there were similar fouls there, and, albeit a little bit less of a free throw discrepancy, but it was less of a free throw discrepancy. And we're talking about how West Virginia deserved to win that game between Damian Lillard, between everybody else. Guys, West Virginia never led the entire game. Iowa led the game from start to finish. They controlled the game. They got them into foul trouble. I think it's flat out ridiculous. On top of that, West Virginia, I believe, was like 280th in least fouls committed. They were committing about 18 to 19 fouls a game. So if you include the intentional fouls at the end of the game with that, they stacked up to what about their season average was. I just think there's a large percentage of America that wants to see Caitlin Clark lose. And it's very strange why. I know she's been a popular topic right now. But learn basketball. Iowa deserved to win that game. West Virginia cannot make enough shots on offense.
Well, apparently, playing college basketball is it's like going to boarding school or something. Like, if you don't behave appropriately now, there's a segment of the mainstream media that's going to come after you. And Caitlin Clark has been a part of that. Apparently, she's one of the first ever women's basketball players to ever bitch and moan to officials. I mean, this is pretty easy to suss out, David. She's the most visible player in the sport, and she's bitching about calls. And yeah, her dad told her to shut up. Shut up. Everybody's dad has told them to shut up at some point. It's really remarkable to see now that it's almost like it's a, I hate to go there and say it, but it's almost like there's a grift to be had to be anti-Caitlin Clark, or like kind of hedging or riding the fence on Caitlin Clark at this point in her career.
100%. I mean, that's a big reason why I'm thrilled, and I think it's a smart decision for her not to come back for a fifth year.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the scrutiny level will be next year? And on top of that, you think about women's basketball, it's got a whole new exposure level. There's never been more cameras or media attention on all these people, which means there's a mainstream media that has never talked about women's basketball. Now all of a sudden they're forced to talk about women's basketball. But guess what, Cole? They don't know ball.
Great point.
So you have all these non-knowing talking heads talk about this, spreading these false narratives, and something that I think nobody's talked about, the camera is always on Caitlin.
Yeah.
There's a Caitlin Clark cam. Could you imagine if we put down some of our leading men's players?
Well,
they would do the same exact thing.
You know what it reminds me of as a Bears fan? It reminds me of Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And Caitlin, yeah. Caitlin's body language is fine, way better than Jay Cutler's ever was. But it's a parallel to me.
And Caitlin's not perfect. Like, don't get wrong. I mean, she does go over the top at times with the officials, but it's so strange to me. Steph Curry kicks a chair after hitting a big three last night, everybody talks about, wow, what a shot. That really ignited the team. Caitlin Clark tells her fans to get the bleep up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's a bad role model. Are you kidding me? What has Caitlin Clark done besides complain to officials and showcase her to be a bad role model?
Yeah.
Anything. She's nearly a 4-0 student. She spends hours after games taking pictures and signing for every little kid. She's the first to give her teammates credit. She doesn't like talking about herself. Again, I'm not saying she's perfect, but some of these narratives are just flat-out sickening. And I, for one, love the fact that Angel Reese is talking crap. I, for one, love that Cameron Brink is cussing out officials.
Yeah.
I, for one, love Caitlin Clark pandering toward the crowd. Let women be women. Let them talk crap. Because guess what? It's compelling television.
Yeah.
And I am all about it.
And these people, as you kind of hinted at earlier, they're exposing themselves as having not been in the arena for a long time. And that would probably shock people, the amount of people that, you know, cover sports, but they're not inside arenas or at stadiums at all, like at all. And if you are close to the game, you'll see this stuff. I mean, it doesn't always get on television, but like you mentioned, the amount of coverage now, the cameras, yeah, it makes total sense. David, great stuff, man. Try not to get on anybody else's bad side while you're at it, okay?
I'm not confrontational. I don't have any hot takes. I don't know why people like to start stuff with me. But you know what? It's okay. I'm happy we can have these discussions.
Man, your X account has been a lightning rod lately, but it's gotta be great for the followers. So you're winning regardless at the end of the day. I know that much.
Hey, you know what? It's fun at the end of the day, and I'm happy I can be a part of it and continue to give coverage to women's basketball.
X is the adult playground. All right. Great stuff, man. Take care.
Take care, buddy. I appreciate you.
Likewise. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. Subscribe. Follow him on X at David Eicholt. All right. Got to take this time out. Already late for Tommy Burch. He's going to be upset. We got to talk some baseball next. We'll also recap the Iowa State women's basketball season with Tommy right after this on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. It'll be Iowa State against Illinois tonight in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in Boston. The winner advances to Saturday's championship of the East Regional. This one will be about offense against defense. Illinois comes in averaging just about 85 points per game. The Cyclones give up just over 61. And ISU coach T.J. Otzelberger says the Illini are tough to defend even without a true point guard.
I'd say they do a really good job moving the basketball, and different guys create the advantage. So it's not as their offense isn't dependent on one guy to try to make plays off the dribble or in pick and roll. So they're able to space you more probably because of that. And balance, you know, their offensive attack.
It's a 9:10 Iowa time tip-off, the opening of the two regional semis. Pitt's top-ranked and defending champion UConn against San Diego State. This is Radio Iowa.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Fred Smock from Dunlap Motors in Independence. Our lots are full. It's been years since we've had this much inventory. Rebates are back, up to $5,000 on some new Chevy 1500 Silverados. Interest rates low as 1.9 on most new Chevys. And our GM certified used selection has never been better. Stop and say hi. That's Dunlap Motors in downtown Independence.
Stock up and save big on everyday essentials now at Menards. We have it all from big to small and everything in between. Keep your devices powered with Energizer Max batteries. They deliver consistent performance and can hold power for up to 10 years while in storage. Energizer Max batteries are on sale now through March 31st. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The madness of March has arrived, which means Bracket Attack is back on the Fan. 2024 Bracket Attack is presented by Maximum Sight and Sound and brought to you in part by Deary Brothers Collision Center, Ted's Home and Hardware, Marco's Pizza, Karen's Print Right, Thompson Shoes, Steamboat Gardens, and Jerry Rolling Motors. Thanks to all our great sponsors, and thanks to you for listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 102.3 and 1650 The Fan.
Get ready to turn up the fun in your home entertainment experience with Maximum Sight and Sound. For over 50 years, they've been your go-to experts in all things audio and visual. With jaw-dropping home theaters and security products, they've got you covered. Come on down to Maximum Sight and Sound, 4017 University Avenue, Waterloo. Call them 234-0344 or online MaximumSightAndSound.com. Maximum Sight and Sound, where the fun never ends.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Just in the nick of time. I was calling an audible there, and then there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. Dr. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register joins us now. Tommy, how you doing today, man?
I am lovely. I'm soaking up the sights and sounds of the drive from Omaha back to Des Moines right now.
And I still can't remember what the league is now, because it was the Pacific Coast League for so long, and I know it was the new league's media day, right, that the Iowa Cubs are in. That's why you were out there?
Yeah, no, so I think now they're in the International League, but the Iowa Cubs actually opened up the season at Omaha, so they did some availability for me out there,
okay.
Which they designated Media Day, but I think of it as Tommy Burch Day.
Well, I was going to say,
I was the only one there.
If there's a guy who could make his own Media Day, it would be Tommy Burch. And that's why you should be following him on X, everybody, at Tommy Burch. All right, since we're already talking Iowa Cubs, I was saying at the top of the show, you know, we had talked years ago on this program. I mean, I think I'm coming up on year five here now. You know, that was at the tail end of the prospect boom in the Theo Epstein era with the Cubs and some of the more talented Iowa Cubs teams, Tommy, of all time came through Des Moines. As a result of that, this looks like a roster that may well rival that, or am I being a little hyperbolic here?
No, it's pretty good. I mean, this opening day roster, which hasn't been officially announced yet, some guesses and some of the people that I saw around the park today lead me to believe that, yeah, it'll be a very talented team. It's going to have Pete Crow, Armstrong, Owen Casey, Matt Mervis, Ben Brown, Alexander Canario, B.J. Murray Jr. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else, but those are some legit prospects, especially when you're talking about Owen, you're talking about PCA. Mm-hmm. They're both two top 10 prospects in the Cubs organization and top 100 prospects in all baseball. So it's going to be a really good team, tons of potential. And to me, kind of the interesting thing, too, is not just what's in Iowa, is like, you look at what could be starting the season in Tennessee with Matt Shaw, I'm guessing starting the season in Double A with Tennessee, he may not be too far away either. So, yeah, it's gonna be up there with some of those teams. You know, when I think of probably the most talented or at least the most prospect-packed Iowa Cubs team in the last decade, I think of that team that had, like, Almora, Vogelbach, and Contreras, just some other dudes, you know, at one point, you know, the Cubs were supposed to have Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, mm-hmm. Matt and Russell, at one point all together. I don't know if they actually all played together in Iowa at the same time. They all played together in Chicago, but, but yeah, those are some pretty good teams and probably the two to start from when it comes to comparison this one.
So should be money well spent if anybody from the listening area wants to make the trip to Principal Park this summer and take in some Iowa Cubs baseball. Of course, Tommy, it's opening day across Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs in Texas to take on the defending World Series champion Rangers. And I'm going to be that guy and go after the opening day lineup. Chris Morel plays almost all of his spring training at third base. Nick Madrigal, who played well at third base last year, coming off of another hamstring injury, gets healthy just in time, they tell us, to make, you know, to start with the big league club at the beginning of the season and not on the injured list. And it's Madrigal in against the right-hander, Eovaldi from Texas at third base, Christopher Morel DHing. Tommy, I mean, I don't care if the answer satisfies me or not. From everything you know, what should Cubs fans make of this opening day lineup decision where Morel's at DH, Madrigal is at third base?
Yeah, I think the simple thing is they still don't have a ton of faith in Morel over at third base. The idea is that Madrigal is more experienced, more polished, just a better third baseman, and you know, they want to get Morel in the lineup. But, you know, look, he's going to have to get out there sometime. He's going to have to – you can't DH him all the time. And I think that would be a misjustice to him and his skill set and to his development. The only way he's going to get better is by getting more reps. I think you saw some really good improvement from Morel over at third base. I think he's still got a long ways to go, but – like I said, you're not going to get better if you're not out there. And I think the upside in terms of having Morel playing third base and being in the lineup and possibly having somebody else, the DH is probably a little bit better than the combination of Morel DHing and Madrigal playing third base. But it's an interesting choice, and I think it also speaks volumes to the idea that, hey, the front office probably still has a decent say in the control of the lineup card, too. This is going to be
Craig
Counsell's team, but you know, there's definitely some veto power from upstairs.
Interesting. All right. And just a quick thought on this whole Shohei Ohtani thing. I mean, if you go down this wormhole, Tommy, there's already people trying to piece together, you know, the Venn diagram or the, you know, you think about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Charlie's at that board and his hair's all, you know, his hair's all crazy and he's got the pins on the cork board. Like, you can go down that wormhole and there's some circumstantial evidence that maybe it wasn't just the translator that was gambling on this. Of course, Pete Rose has already made his wise-ass remark saying all he ever needed was an interpreter and he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Floor's yours. Just what do you think?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, I think Pete Rose would probably be in the Hall of Fame by now if he kept his mouth shut a little bit more and just embraced the whole idea that, hey, I made mistakes.
Yeah.
I lied about it. I bet on baseball. I'm gonna pay my price. But it's because he is saying things like this that Pete Rose is not going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, there are so many different dynamics when it comes to this. You know, I think Shohei has totally left the door open for all these conspiracy theories and wild ideas because he's not taking questions.
Exactly.
He's not really talking. He's reading a statement and providing almost no background when it comes to this. So he's not helping his cause. But, you know, the one story that I kind of keep going back on when it comes to, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, like, man, could he totally not know that his finances were totally out of whack? And I think this is, you know, a different story on a different scale, but I'll never forget when Manny Ramirez was the player coach for the Iowa Cubs. And there was a young man that was working for the Iowa Cubs at the time. That was always in the clubhouse. He had an office in the clubhouse, and one day Manny had asked him, like, hey, can you ship out some of these old cleats? You know, I want to return them, shoes or whatever. And Manny gave him his credit card. I remember this kid going to me, like, man, I wonder how much money I would have to spend on this credit card before, like, there's a red flag for Manny Ramirez.
Right.
And, you know, when this story has come up with Shohei, now, obviously, we are talking millions and millions of dollars, and there are certainly red flags that should have been going up for a long, long time if the story is true that Shohei is telling us. But I can absolutely see a situation where somebody making that much money and has very little control in the actual day-to-day process of their life is seizing control over so much of it due to other people. So in the grand scheme of things, it's just like, man, Shohei is just not helping his cause whatsoever, just leaving the door open to this and not answering any questions. And
yeah,
in the meantime, the story is just kind of flying around in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. Tommy, good stuff. I got to run. Appreciate your time. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. All right, we got to take this final time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels is a projected top three pick in next month's draft. And those projections appear accurate given that the head coaches of the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots, the teams holding those first three picks, all attended Daniels' pro day throwing session Wednesday. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Daniels will now meet with Washington and New England in addition to the Vikings, Giants, Raiders, and Broncos. LSU receiver Malik Nabers also put on a show at the Pro Day, running an unofficial blazing 4.35 40. NFL Network's Cam Wolf reports Nabers met with the Cardinals, Giants, Titans, Patriots, and Jets the past 2 days, all teams who pick in the top 10. And Jadeveon Clowney has a new home. The three-time Pro Bowl pass rusher agreed to a 2-year, $20 million deal with the Panthers. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15, 2024 in order to attend kindergarten in the 2024-25 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from the following list: Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Once you call the school to let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student, the principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed registration forms are required for all incoming kindergarten students and must be turned in by March 30th to your school building. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. For more information or to download the forms, visit cfschools.org/parents/kindergarten_registration.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Cubs fans, it's Pat Hughes. This is where you want to be for every Chicago Cubs game this season. Part of the Cubs Radio Network.
It's got a chance! Gone! What a moment!
Join Ron Coomer, Zach Zaidman, and me right here for all the excitement of Cubs baseball throughout the 2024 season.
Cubs win!
The Chicago Cubs play here.
On 102.3 and 1650, The Fan.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. A day after the NFL passed new rules regarding the kickoff and the controversial hip-drop tackling technique in quest of player safety, the league appears to have backtracked. Since its inception in 06, there have been plenty of concerns around the rapid turnaround of Thursday night football. 17-game schedule already creates tremendous stress on an athlete's body, and that's with a full week of rest. That has helped form a massive amount of controversy surrounding games being played on a short work week. But with the money pouring in at an unprecedented pace, the league has continued to look the other way. The NFL continues to push the envelope and did so yesterday, the addition of two Wednesday games to capture the Christmas Day audience. Unless accommodations are made, that turnaround will be extremely taxing on the player's body deep into the season. Take into account the rumors of a possible 18-game schedule, and it's clear the NFL's priority isn't safety, it's money. But can we really be surprised? I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But everything else costs more. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR onto one platform. It reduces IT costs, and over 37,000 companies have already made the move. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind flexible financial programs. Head to netsuite.com/Patrick. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, back for a final time in the Circus Sports Studio on this Thursday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network for joining today's show, as well as Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. Good conversations, like usual, with both. If you missed any of it, podcast will be available soon at the website, 1650thefan.com. All right, Cubs baseball coming up here at the top of the hour, opening day. Enjoy, everybody. Again, a reminder, we'll go to coverage of Iowa State men's basketball's Sweet 16 game at 8 tonight here on The Fan. The entirety of tonight's Cubs game available over at Cruising KCFI at 1250 AM and 105.1 FM. Enjoy the evening, everybody. I am back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.